Welcome to the One Love, One Faith podcast, where we use the love of Christ and faith in His Word to navigate Christian living in the 21st century. Remember to follow us on social media at @OneLove_OneFaith. Hi, One Love Nation. Before we dive into today's episode, we want to pause for just a moment. Now, One Love Nation, don't get jealous. But you should know that despite our love for all the amazing countries that listen, Jamaica is the official country of the One Love, One Faith podcast. It's evident in the name, in the spirit of the show, and even in the colors of our logo. Those details were intentional, paying homage to our beautiful Jamaica. Jamaica is our birthplace, our home, and heritage. So you can imagine that our hearts are heavy as we watch the impact Hurricane Melissa has made. Both Arinthia and I have family there, loved ones, and friends too. We each have parishes close to our hearts that were hit hard. We have friends still trying to reach their families. So we're still praying fervently for everyone affected by this natural disaster that touches us in such a personal way. This year, I've actually spent more time in Jamaica than in the US. And though I already knew it, that time confirmed what my heart has always felt. There is no place nicer, no place happier, no place more loving, and no place more blessed than Jamaica. And I know that same spirit, the resilience and strength of Jamaicans, will shine even brighter in the days ahead. Jamaica, land we love, we're built differently. Let's rise up, stay strong, and show the world once again what it means to be Jamaican. We also extend our love to all our Caribbean sister nations, Cuba, Haiti, the Dominican Republic, the Bahamas, and Turks and Caicos, who are also facing Melissa's impact and the long road of recovery. We've weathered storms before, and we'll weather this one too. One people, one heart, one love. Let's rise together. If you wish to help Jamaica or the Caribbean, please give through reputable organizations such as supportjamaica.gov.jm or ADRA. But above all, the most powerful thing you can do is pray. We ask you, the One Love Nation, to pray. Pray for those who have lost loved ones or homes and for everyone involved in relief efforts to stay safe and strong. Our prayers are that the death toll will remain low, and that when the world looks back on this storm, they will say, though Melissa was strong, though she was historic and record-breaking, God's hand of protection is evident and undeniable. We love you, Jamaica. We love you, Caribbean. Our thoughts and prayers are with you all.
Hello, everyone. This is Garantia.
And I'm Camille.
And you are listening to the One Love, One Faith podcast. Yirig!
Que lo que mi gente!
Hi, guys.
Hello, everyone. Friend.
Yes.
Guess what?
What?
We've got a new number 3.
Yo, hold up, friend. Hold up. Y'all know I have an accent, right? So I have an accent, you know what I mean? But I had to change it up a little bit, you know what I mean, innit?
A little bit. What?
A little bit.
Can you guess who the number 3 is?
Let us know, friend.
It's the UK.
What?
Yeah, the UK.
The UK. You butters. You mad, man.
It's the UK, innit?
Is it? No, honestly, that's one of my favorite accents, so...
Yeah.
UK, yeah. Welcome to the club. Well,
yes.
Welcome to the elite club, because like you're at top 3. you know.
Yeah, they maneuver their way into number three. So spot on, UK.
Okay, we see
Spot
y'all.
on. Smashing support.
We see
I'm
y'all.
not gonna stop. I'm just gonna do the whole episode
You know what I mean? Thank you so much. We appreciate the
The support from
support,
across the pond.
the love, and the love.
From across the pond. Anyway, that's enough of that. I can't do
Yeah,
that
yeah.
for much longer. They're probably like, we do not sound like that.
What are you doing? Please, guys, please don't be
No, we're just
cheating.
having
Please don't be
fun. They're
fun.
probably begging us to stop. It's over. But thank you so much. So the UK
Yes.
pushed out Canada. So
What? Canada? You
I don't
gonna take
know.
that?
Canada
That's
might fight back,
crazy.
but right now
Canada.
it's the UK.
Fight
It's the
back.
UK.
Fight back. Get up. Get up. Don't let them
Yeah,
do you
right now
like
it's the
that.
UK. So thank you, everyone, as always. And also, we completely understand that the UK is more than England. So sorry, Scotland and Ireland, but I know you don't want to hear us butcher your accents as well.
And speaking of like the UK taking over, friend, we haven't like looked at comments in a very
Yes.
long time. And so we went to our podcast comment
An Apple
section,
Podcast.
and is it Apple
Yeah.
Podcasts? And we saw one. Actually, Camille brought it to my attention because she was like, "Have you seen this?" I was like, "No, this happened from guys, this happened in 2024 and we're just now seeing it." So we're gonna so we wanted to shout out Ken McIntyre. And listen, Ken, we are so sorry for not seeing this sooner, but he left a comment and we wanted to read it to you guys. So he said that I am a new member and I'm looking forward to a long journey with this podcast. I enjoy the light-hearted banter and the dialogue between the two creators. The serious and important message that you both convey are not lost. I will be listening to the previous episodes to catch up. May God bless you both and bless all the followers and members of this powerful ministry. Thank you and be a blessing.
Thank you.
What? That's so
Yes, it was such a
lovely.
lovely
That's
message.
so
And you guys
lovely.
have no idea how much it
Yes.
just really encourages us to hear your experience listening to the
Yeah.
podcast. So please do share or email us. It really brightens our day to see you take a brief moment just to say something.
Yes.
So thank you so much.
Yeah. And you know what I love the most is that people are able to like hear us have like very funny moments and laugh at it, but also still get the message because I think that's one of the things that we wanted to be, especially when we did the podcast, we wanted to be so relatable to people because we didn't want them to think that ministry had to be boring or that you had to had like you have to have these strict conversations around Christianity. Like, no, we can have fun. Like, God gives us personalities for a reason. Like, we're not a black and white book that you're just like reading, like with no color. Like, we're all made in different shape sizes, but like God puts like vibrant personalities in us,
Right.
and we need to
Right.
express them.
Nothing wrong with having some
So
fun.
I love that.
Yes. Yes. Now, friend, in
Yes.
other news, it's October.
Yes.
It is October, and we are so far through 2025.
So as we're recording right now, it is what? October the 1st?
Yes, it is October 1st that we're actually recording this
October
one, but we know it won't go out
1st.
to you guys
This
until
one.
later. And yeah, so
Right.
October is going to be nearly done when you're hearing this, and it's just wild that
Yeah.
2025
That's
just feels
crazy.
like it went so quickly. But there's something else really important about October, friend, which is that I need to shout out my mommy because
Yes.
it's her birthday month. So happy
Yes.
birthday. Happy birthday, mommy.
Happy
Love
birthday,
you
Mrs.
so much. That's our
Buchanan.
number one supporter, one of our number one supporters. So we had to give her a little shout out.
Listen. Listen, y'all can't, y'all, you guys don't have anything on Mrs. Buchanan. When I tell you she is in the, like, she's listening every single week or every single month, listen to all the, she's giving feedback, she's telling her friends, listen, I didn't even know, right? You were the one who told me this. Well, I think it was like a couple months ago or a couple weeks ago. You told me that your mom and her friends have like this group, and they were like so excited about the episodes coming out. I was like, what? Like, guys, no, she's a real OG, man.
Yeah, it's a group from high school, and they definitely are. They are supporting us, and they are announcing the podcast days and reminding each
What?
other to go listen. So, yeah, so we appreciate all of them. Thank you so much.
Yes, and Mrs. Buchanan, please give them a shout out for us. Shout them out. Tell them we are so happy that they're listening every single week. We're so happy for the support, and we're just so appreciative. Just please let them know that, please.
Yes. Friend, before we move into our topic today, just one more thing that I think we should address just briefly. And it's a recent, I don't know what to call it, current event or social media event. I don't know what to call it, friend, but in September, at the end of the month, there was a big uproar on social media because earlier this year, a prophet or self-proclaimed prophet or pastor had discussed that the rapture
Oh
was
Lord.
coming.
Yeah.
And I
I
just
saw
wanted
this. I
us
saw
to mention
that.
it and just say, we have to be diligent, so we are not easily fooled. We have to know what the Bible says, and we have to believe what the Bible says, and that this happening in and of itself is just a testament to what the Bible said would happen in end times, what false prophets and rumors and false statements. So I don't know, friend. It's a crazy world out there.
It's crazy because I've seen so many videos on it. And this one particular video, I saw this guy, he was doing Uber, and this couple, right? This couple came in his car and they were like, "Hey, we just wanted to give you this money because the rapture is going to happen and we're going to be like taken up." And he was like, "Taken up? So what you trying to say? I'm not gonna go up there too? Like, you trying to say I'm not gonna make it?" But they're like, "No, here's this money." And it was like
He
$1,900
said he was gonna
that they
be
just
left
gave to this man because
behind.
they thought he was gonna be left behind and he gonna need food. They said, "You're not gonna be able to eat, baby. Just take this money."
I saw people giving their stuff away and selling it.
Ooh.
I even saw a woman who was stocking her house up so that those who were left behind could go to her house
I never saw
and
that.
be well.
That's
And
crazy.
it made me sad actually.
Yeah, it shows you that a lot of people are not in the word.
One good thing is I love that so many of us are looking expectantly. We are looking for the second coming. We are yearning for it, and that's a beautiful thing, but we can't be led astray at the same time.
I think so. As we talk about like being led astray, I think it was like Ghana. There was a whole multitude of people in the woods just like waiting for the second coming, or like the rapture to happen. And when I say a multitude, I mean like a lot, like
You
hundreds of
mean
them.
like
In
this
like
past
the
September, like
yes, in
this
the
date that they came for?
yeah, it's like I think it's
And you
like
know what, friend? It's not over, actually. Did you see the latest? The latest is that
no.
What was the they were saying that if you compare the Gregorian calendar and the Julian calendar, you would realize that September 23rd on the Julian calendar, I believe, is not until our October 6th. And so who
Oh
knows, in a
Lord, here
couple
we
of
go again.
So
Oh, I didn't even hear that part, but I don't want to be bothered or stressed about it. But guys, just be vigilant, be prayerful,
yes.
and just seek the Lord and let Him reveal things to you. Don't listen to just every and anything that you see online.
You can't.
No.
You absolutely cannot do that. Okay, friends, so divine detours, that's the topic for today. We're back
Yes.
with another installment. And today's story is about who, friend?
We are going to be talking about Jonah. Jonah, Jonah,
Jonah.
Jonah. We know that
Jonah, Jonah.
many people are familiar with this story, but you know how we like to do things over here. We don't just tell regular stories because that's boring.
Right. And
We don't
we'll
do that.
still stay within the theme of, divine detours with
Yes.
Jonah's life and our, I guess our subtitle for this story is that Jonah's story reminds us that you can run, but God's grace runs faster. Okay?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
just don't do it. So we'll just jump right in. Jonah. Jonah, Jonah, Jonah.
Jonah.
So about Jonah, friend. Great. I'm just gonna dive right in, okay?
Let's go.
Jonah starts out, you know, chapter one. God says, go to Nineveh.
Yeah.
Preach. And before we move on, I just want to say that God's plan sometimes in our lives, as we've talked about on the podcast, sometimes we don't understand what's happening, and it goes over here and then over there, and we're not quite sure where we're going.
Did this come from God? Like, I'm not sure. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you're just, like, not sure if this is, like, you hear it, like, he gives you a scripture, like, you're like, is he talking about this? I don't know.
Right. And we've talked about that where we, you know, there might be uncertainty or we're just trying to figure out where God is leading. But that's not where Jonah is in chapter one, right? Jonah gets this message. God is, sometimes God's plan doesn't always speak to us in the most logical, straight, you know, from straight point A to point B. Right. It doesn't always seem that way to us. But in Jonah's story, that's exactly what Jonah had. He had a straightforward directive from God. Who, what, where, when, how. He said, be here at this time to do this because this.
And Jonah said, no. I don't want to do that. I do not want to do that. It's so crazy.
Not at all. Friend, it's not that he did it. He wasn't like, you know, like God has had people say to him in our Bible stories, I don't know. I don't know if I can. Show me a sign. He's had Moses say, hey, I'm not the speaker.
Yes.
Aaron is. Why are you doing that?
We are way too connected. I'm sorry. sorry, guys.
That's funny.
I was just thinking about Moses, though. Like, him talking about, I can't speak. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that's not my forte.
But that's not what Jonah said. Jonah didn't say, God, I'm just not really feeling that right now. No, Jonah just said,
no.
Deuces.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah. If Nineveh's over there, I'm going over there.
He didn't even try to argue his incompetence. Like, he was like, I can, but
I'd rather not.
I don't want to do that.
He said, I heard you loud and clear, but no.
But
he said, if Nineveh's in the east, I'm going west. I'm going
west. I do not want to be near that place. But I wonder, friend, and I've always thought about this. Why do you think he didn't want to go? Like,
the man went in the opposite direction.
He flee. Like, he bought a ticket. The Bible said he bought a ticket. You feel what I'm saying? Like, he was adamant. Then, you know what's so crazy? This is what the Bible says, right? He says, right? Now, Jonah, come on now. I think this was very stupid. But I'm not saying the prophet of the Lord is stupid, no. But I'm saying, like, what you try to do... It don't make no sense, because the Bible says Jonah tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now where you gonna go? Is he not always with you?
Is he not a prophet that understands this? Jonah, what are you
thinking? I could understand trying to flee from the situation and to flee because you don't want to go, but to flee from the presence of God. Are you crazy?
Right. As if... Because of your location, the directive won't be the same. You just made it harder on yourself, right? You just made there more distance between you and Nineveh. Exactly. But at the end of the day, the mission is still go to Nineveh.
Wait, I remember when I was younger and my mom, my mom would be sending me to school. And I did not like school. I'm not going to lie to you. I did not like school. I don't know why. Because I used to be such a cool kid, so I don't know why I didn't. I used to be complaining, like, oh, my tummy hurts. She was like, oh, drink some tea, but you're still going to school. Like, you're hurting, you're still going to school.
Yeah.
You're going to be all right. So, it don't matter what you do, Jonah. You're still going to Nineveh. Buy that ticket across the world. You're going to need a round trip, baby.
No, he was free and clear. That man said, Zoom. Nope. Yeah. Not going to do it.
He's gone.
Gone. The man was gone. But anyway, friend, your question, why did he run? I think historically, when we look at the place, we can tell, when we look at the powers that were at play at that time, Nineveh was a crazy place.
Yeah.
It wasn't a place that you would just, you know, roll up and be like, oh, it wasn't a place you were taking your family on vacation. You weren't like, oh, hey, guys, let's spend an extended weekend in Nineveh this weekend. Like, no, that wasn't. That wasn't what you were doing. So it was the capital of Assyria, and they were enemies of Israel. So I think that played a part of it. I think he had fear, and prophets, especially with an unwelcome message. Yeah. And they weren't always appreciated.
Yeah, they didn't see him as people who believed in the living God. So, like, imagine, like, you going to preach. Like, you going, okay, imagine this. God sends you to go to talk to a group of Muslims or Hindus or other religions. And predominantly, that's the religion that they practice there. Everything except Christianity, right? And God is like, go preach, go teach these people X, Y, and Z. I'm not going to lie to you, friend. I would be scared.
You'd be a little apprehensive. A little bit too?
Apprehensive. I would be.
Yeah, it was a big task.
Because I know, like, but also too, I have to understand that I am not speaking from a place of I'm trying to persuade other people. I'm speaking knowing that the Holy Spirit is going to do its job or its job, right? So, like, I know that God is going to be working, but like I said before, I low-key think, honestly, that he was a little bit scared because, so Nineveh, right? They said that it was a jewel from the Assyrian empire. So Nahum chapter 1, right? It's Nahum chapter 1, chapter 3, verses 1, calls Nineveh, the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, and never without victims. Now, I'm sorry, but like...
Never without victims.
Who wants to go there again? Like, you're talking about... Now, you know what's so crazy too? Because we as believers, when we read stories and we... Listen, you see today, we just need to chill. Like, we need to stop. We need to stop because we like to... Now, the only story I could be like, nah, like that wouldn't be me is Eve because I'm not talking to no snake. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
But...
Got to rendeer back on this Eve thing.
Not today.
Okay.
Not going to do your smoke today. But I'm just saying, like, it's easy for us, like, today to read the scriptures and be like, that wouldn't be me. But think about it. Just think about, like, even the example that I just gave. Like, God is sending you in an area that is unfamiliar to you. They don't practice the same religion. You can't use scripture to be, like, appeal to people's heart. Like, you just have to depend. Place. Yeah. It's a dangerous place. You have to depend on God showing up and showing out. And so, honestly, I could understand his apprehension. I could.
Right.
But...
It's like God sending us into the middle of a war zone territory, saying, hey, I know everything that's going on in Syria and Palestine right now, but why don't you go there and minister? Why don't you go to the middle of the war, you know, the drug war land where the cartels are active? Yeah. And
tell them, put down the drugs. You don't need it. You need your Bible. Like, tell Pablo Escobar that.
Jonah's not that crazy anymore, right?
You know what I mean? Like, he's not sounding too crazy. Like, we love to talk about the story because it's just, like, crazy how God comes through and helps him to, like, go back and realign himself. But it wasn't an easy task that he was sending Jonah on. Like, that assignment was a little bit crazy, though.
Right. So it was. Definitely fear played a part in him running. Yeah. I think another thing that played a part, and I know some of it we'll talk about later, but another part that I think he might have been feeling was just not having control over the situation, you know, and then not feeling comfortable. So he wanted to be safe and we all go through that as well. We want to control the situation. We want to know exactly what's going to happen. We don't want to be put in uncomfortable situations. So I think fear and then just being outside of his comfort zone, he was like. Yeah.
And him just knowing the reputation of Nineveh and just being like, yeah, I don't even think these people deserve me even praying for them because like, no.
You know? Right. And then not only putting ourselves in his shoes as far as what would we do if we were sent on such a bizarre assignment as well, or a dangerous assignment, but also we too get clear directives or feelings from the Holy Spirit, from God nudging us to do something. And sometimes we run as well, right? Or we decide that we're not doing it, or we say, I'll do it later, just not right now. You know, forgiving someone, feeling like you need to join a ministry at church, but you're delaying, leaving a toxic situationship behind, and you know you have no business in it. You know, the Lord wants you out. It doesn't have to be as bold as how you feel Jonah's turning away is, right? But we have all been in situations where we have that instruction from God, and we delay or run or try to run away from what we know the Spirit is leading us to.
So I have a crazy story to tell you.
Okay. Right?
This happened this week. So the Lord has been telling me like, hey, there's this person I want you to bless. Right. So this person, they always reach out. They always just like check on me. And this is like one of the people that I grew up with. You know what I mean? But like older than me, they used to look after me and stuff like that. So anyways,
okay.
The Lord told me, hey, you need to put some money aside. You need to bless this person. So I'm like, okay. But like in my mind, I'm like, okay. But like, I'm wondering, like, I know, I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. But then like a week passed and I'm like, I'm going to do it. And then a week passed and then I'm going to do it. But like, in my mind, I thought it was because I had excess at that point. Nah, I ain't got no money now. Come on now. You feel me? The Lord ain't giving me, I haven't had, you know, haven't had the bless me indeed yet, but it's coming, but it's not there yet.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
So, you know, he keeps putting it on my heart. And I was like, okay. But at the time, I had a certain amount that I wanted to give, right?
Right.
And I was like, okay. But then, like, the following week, I'm like, I'm going to add some more to it. And then the following week, I'm like, okay, I might just add some more to it. So then this week, they reached out to me this week, and they were like, hey, how are you doing?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I'm good. And I was like, you know what? Honestly, and at this point, so I was waiting because I didn't have enough of what God had placed on my heart. So I was like, but so I went out, I did some business, and then I came back. And then when they reached out to me, I checked my account, and I was like, I had just enough for that. Nothing else, nothing other than that, but just enough for that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what's so crazy? The Lord has been putting you on my heart like all week from like a couple weeks ago, and I want to be obedient. And so I sent her, like, immediately I went to my app, I sent her the money.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you indeed heard from God, because I had literally $100 in my name, and $100 is less than $1 because it was in Jamaican.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. And she was like, I was just about to ask my aunt to borrow some money. And I was like, wow.
Wow.
That's crazy.
And you got the biggest confirmation there with them reaching out and then them sharing that they were in a position of need.
I was like, that's so crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah. And it doesn't, right? It doesn't have to be, oh, go preach here in this dangerous territory. It can just be a message like that, where you felt the Spirit leading you to do something.
Yeah.
And our response to that can sometimes be no.
Or wait. No, I don't want to do that.
You followed it.
Yeah. That's crazy. But yeah, I wanted to share that because I'm like, sometimes you really do need to listen to the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is prompting you, just know that it's not just in vain. Like, if something is is being placed on your heart and it's heavy,
it can be God talking to you.
Pray about it. If you're not certain, pray about it. Yeah. Yes,
you're right. You're right.
And get that directive. But, right. God truly came through with that one. And I'm not saying it's not me. I'm just happy that I listened to the Holy Spirit,
Right. Yeah. That's good, friend. Yeah. I like that. Friend, it's crazy because with this story, to me, this series is about divine detours, right?
Right, right.
But to me, as I'm reading this story, Jonah is actually the one creating a detour here. Yes. Isn't he? He created the first detour. It's not divine, mind you. It's not divine, but boy, is he creating a detour from doing what God commanded him to do.
You know what's so crazy? Because oftentimes I've seen this so many times where we dig ourselves in certain holes and then we're like, God, where are you to save me? Like, you chose this. And I said this to some of my friends this week. I'm like, sometimes we allow ourselves and our emotions to get the best of us, and we allow hard-headedness, because sometimes we're stubborn, to allow us to make some decisions, and now we are drowning and we're like, God, please, like, I'm not gonna do it again. I know you told me something else and I'm not gonna do it again. And we make these promises to God, and just know, like, you gotta keep those. Like, don't make promises you can't keep. Like, you have to stand on that. Because you're expecting God to stand on his promises.
Right.
Be on it. Stand on your business.
You're right. And you said something. You said, sometimes we create these situations. And that's exactly where we should go next in Jonah's story, which is this situation that he created, right?
Yep.
So Jonah, for some reason, actually thinks he's escaping, right? He's actually escaping.
From the presence of God.
Right. I don't know, friend. I don't know what that was about. I don't know. Moment of insanity. He thinks he's escaping, but God sees and knows. And God sends a storm, right? But these storms, they sometimes are of our own making. Yeah. As a consequence to the choices that we make. And so there's a storm. Here's a storm, literal storm on the seas, but also just a metaphorical storm of Jonah's own making. And when we too resist God, we end up in a storm of our own making. And it could be frustration, unrest, exhaustion in your life. And it can be a sign that you are on a Jonah detour and you are heading to Tarshish instead of Nineveh, right?
So let's piggyback, friend. So for people who haven't read the story, right? Okay. I wanted to just make something clear. When we said earlier on that Jonah bought a ticket, he bought a ticket to go on a boat, right? To head to Tarshish. So on his way to Tarshish, as he was in the boat, he meets a few people, right? So we had the sailors, we had some people on the boat, and he's there, he's chopping it up with some people, but then he goes in the boat and he goes to the lowest part of the boat and he went to go sleep, right? So he's chilling and God brings a storm, right? Which is the same storm friend was talking about, right? So friend, I'm sorry, friend, I had to just
No, it's good. No, we need the we need the storyline. We need the storyline. You're right. Yeah. So he's just thrown into this situation, but was he thrown into the situation or did he create the situation?
Did he
bought the ticket to the car. He wouldn't have been on the boat if he had gone to Nineveh. The storm would not have affected him even if it had occurred, because he wasn't supposed to be on no boat to Tarshish.
Exactly. And not only that, but you know God, like, you cannot run from God. So, like, one way or the other, he's gonna catch you. So, and not only that, like, other people were on the boat. Like, why would you go and put other people in that mess? Like, you know what I mean? You were talking about that earlier, Prince.
Yes, a storm. The storm in Jonah's story for me is really, like, I mean, I get that it's a literal storm, but it was also just so, I know I said the word metaphorical already, but it was just a big metaphor for me too. I was like, this is a divine interruption. The Bible says the Lord sent a great wind. The Lord is creating this storm, and it looks scary. It was a storm on the sea, big waves, the sailors were frightened, but it was actually God pursuing Jonah. It was God's mercy trying to redirect him back to the path that he was supposed to be on. It was just God coming to get Jonah. And so I just see beauty in that. Even though a storm isn't a pleasant thing to endure, I see beauty in that, because throughout the story, we just see God not only wanting Nineveh to repent, but we see him pursuing Jonah throughout the whole thing. And when we're in storms, they can be terrifying. They can sometimes be humiliating, just like what happened to Jonah on the boat, you know, which we'll get into the order of events on the boat. But Jonah knew that storm was coming for him, and he recognized that this is about me because of what I'm doing and the wrong that I'm doing. And sometimes for us, our disobedience causes a storm, and sometimes it's also exposed and brought into the light in the same way that Jonah's was. But I just really want to highlight that this storm is God's tool for rescuing Jonah. It's God trying to reach Jonah and us before we get carried away and get too far, and let ourselves get in the way. It's not God abandoning Jonah, it's God pursuing him.
And it's so crazy, because now that we've like, you know, talked about what God's reasoning was for creating the storm, we see now that Jonah has created this situation. Other people are being affected by the situation, and he's sleeping.
Sound asleep.
He's sleeping while other people are up there fighting for their lives.
Before he realized that the storm was coming from you.
He's how fast many times asleep. How many times, friend, have you been like pulled in a situation that has nothing to do with another person's like chilling? Like, no. You created this. You better fix this. What you doing? Wake up!
And how many times do we create a situation because of our disobedience or bad choices that affects the people around us, whether it's our family, our friends, or strangers?
But it's true, though. I've seen and I've talked to so many friends about this, and I was like, even talking to one of my friends about this, and I was like, you can teach your children that, hey, like, whatever decisions that they make, there are consequences to their actions. And I was referring to it like, hey, like, even if you don't see like the physical consequence of whatever it is that you're doing, there's always either a personal or a spiritual change or shift that is happening. And the personal can be that, hey, you do something wrong and you're convicted to not do it anymore. Or you do something wrong and you feel like because you weren't caught, you can do it again. And now this bad thing becomes a part of you. And it's now adding on to more bad things that you're going to continue doing because you haven't been caught. And so, like, anything that you do, it has consequences, whether it be something that is physical that you can feel that it can harm you, or it's going to be something that is going to be detrimental to your personal development. But regardless of what it is, you're going to face it.
Right.
You have to.
And that holds true in our lives and in our choices with God too. I mean, he's there to guide us, but he's also there to make sure that we live out our consequences and learn from them. Right? Like, that's just a part of it. We do have to live through the consequences. The beauty that we'll get to in Jonah's story is how he can still use it, but we have to get through those. We have to live through our consequences, because remember, the ultimate goal is to save us. Nothing else, right? Nothing else but to save us. And so we have to endure our consequence and learn the lesson that we need to learn and get back on the path. So this storm, friend, it's big. It's not the only time a storm is used in this way, right? In Mark 4, Jesus was on the boat when a storm came, and it showed his authority. In Acts, Paul gets shipwrecked, but God uses it in order to for Paul to preach to others. So a storm is really significant in the metaphors used in the Bible, right? So the storm helps us wake up, right? And make sure that we're not going to reach more harm. It gets our attention. Just like a parent is going to say, hey, stop, to a child doing wrong or trying to run into the street, into traffic. That's God saying, hey, I'm disrupting you so you don't destruct yourself right now. Right. I'm trying to disrupt your pattern. And he also uses it to reveal things, because just as it was revealed on the boat that Jonah was running away, sometimes our disobedience has to be uncovered so that we can see where we are and how far we've come from where we should be and what our heart position is. And a storm also comes to make sure that we are dependent on God. It makes us say, oh no, I'm scared in the middle of this storm. So it actually just brings us back to God and to a position of prayer and dependence on him, and realizing that we're not in control.
I also was gonna piggyback off of what you said, like the storms also showed you like who is really in control, right? Like God is able to speak to the wind, and it reveals God's power. And a lot of times it reveals God's power to those who are questioning which God has the power over these winds. Because remembering this story, right? It's like, aren't you like the Hebrew guy who like worship, like talk to your God, right? And so now you realize that the God that you are out here talking to, the little statues that you out here praying to, like they can't save you. The God of heaven can speak to the winds, and it listens and obey. And I think so many times God reveals himself through these storms to be like, yo, like, I'm him. You know what I mean? Like, I speak to this thing and it stops.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really him. You know what I mean? Like, I could say, yo, chill. And this time, just like, ooh, okay. And it calms. You know what I mean? And so God now reveals himself to these men who are not believers, right? In the one true living God. And he's like, yo, like this, the God that Jonah serves, I am actually who controls the winds. And even though y'all didn't want to risk, you know, throwing dude off, but I'm telling you right now, I control this thing. So y'all either gonna let me do what I do, or you're gonna interfere with, I'm him. Like, I control this. Like, I created this. Like, this is me. I can tell this to stop and it will.
Right.
Like, it's not gonna tell me no. Like, it has to. You know what I mean? Right. So I see that and I was like, yeah, like God is truly, he uses so many things to reveal himself to us. He uses so many situations to reveal himself to us. And I was watching this video about this lady that spoke about whenever she feels like doubt in her heart about something that she's dealing with, she starts to question what is it about God that you feel as if that is not true for you. Like, is it that he's not a provider? Is it that he can't calm the storm? Is it that he can't heal your family? Like, what is it that you don't believe in that moment?
What are you doubting?
And so if you are dealing with your storm and the storm that you created, and you are here panicking, like, what you need to question yourself about what it is that you don't believe God can do, or you don't believe that God, who God is, you know what I mean? Right. So I thought about that. So Fred, I'm sorry, back to the story.
Oh no, you're good, Fred. Well, something you said, I'll piggyback on as well. It's so crazy that people were blessed because of the storm, that they were, that the one true God was revealed to them. Because as we said, the storm happened because of Jonah's poor choice to run. If he had followed God, he never would have been on that boat to Tarshish. But the sailors had an encounter with Christ because of Jonah's poor choice. Does that mean we should make poor choices? No.
No.
But isn't it amazing how God works, though? Of course, this doesn't mean that we should do that.
What if God knew, right, that he would run? But, like, he set this up, because you know how God is. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, he set up this boat, right, to be with people who don't believe. And then he was like, yo, it's me. Like, I'm him.
Friend,
you know what I mean?
God sees the bigger picture. He knew what Jonah was going to do. He knows what he was going to do immediately and eventually. And he knew the pain that Jonah would have if he made it to Tarshish. So that's why he sent the storm. He knew who was going to be on that boat and probably orchestrated who was on that boat, because they needed to know this message. And even though Jonah created this storm, the amazing thing about God is that he used Jonah's rebellion to become someone else's revelation of who Ooh. God is and his power. Isn't that crazy?
Yep. Yep.
We shouldn't go out seeking mess, but what's so wonderful about God is that he can use our mess as a stage for himself.
Ooh, you better preach.
Isn't that wild?
That's crazy. Because I'm listening and I'm like, what if that was his plan all along? Like he knows we're disobedient. You know what? Right. The Bible tells us, like, our righteousness is as filthy as rags. Right. But, like, he knows we're so stubborn. He knows we're going to do stupid stuff because we're just like, that's
He doesn't who we are. Want Jonah's obedience, and God is God, so he can save who he needs to save in whatever way.
He doesn't
But because
need
of Jonah's disobedience, he can like, use it. That's how he's going to use it for other people.
Let me use one stone, kill two birds. I'm going to just save you, but I'm going to get you back to where you need to go. But I'm going to come back to you real quick. But I need to reveal myself to these people. So hold on.
Exactly.
Yours is coming. Like, I'm coming back to you, Jonah. But I need to save these people right here. So let me just, like, talk to them so that they can stop talking to goats and cows and statues and come to the one true living God.
Right. God is just one orchestra conductor looking at all, look at what he has to look at. He's looking at Jonah and whether or not he's going to follow what he's saying. He's looking at Nineveh and the fact that Jonah is going to be used for Nineveh because there's people there that need to repent.
Yeah.
But he's okay with this little non-divine detour that Jonah is going on to save these souls on this boat as well. It's just, that's why we have to trust him, because he sees all of those inner workings and all of the moving parts and pieces. It's just wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so guys, back to the story. Right? Because we said we wasn't going to do no long stuff, but listen, we get carried away, guys. I'm sorry. Okay, cool. So the plot twist, right? So back to the story. So the storm is happening. The guys are freaking out upstairs because they're like, what is happening? What is causing this storm? This was not on the radar. We checked the weather. This was not supposed to happen. So something is creating this, and we want to know what is happening. Guy comes down. He was like, Jonah, dude, don't you see the storm going on? Wake up. We need to figure out what's causing this storm right now.
Right.
So they're now trying to figure out who is the cause, because they know that something divine is happening. They need to figure out why. So they now cast a lot, right, to figure out who is responsible for the storm. So they cast a lot. It lands on Jonah. Now, let me just say this, right? So back then, casting a lot is almost like flipping a coin, right? Mm-hmm. Or like it's just a random, it's like random, something you do randomly to make a decision.
It's
now, I'm
chance.
Not saying like, right. Right
Chance
now,
or a gamble. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like honestly, for me, right back then, me knowing, like how they randomly pick certain things, like what if Jonah was innocent, but it lands on him? Like that would be crazy. You know what I mean? Like imagine you're being accused of something that you did not do, all because these people who don't believe in God cast a lot and be like, oh, you're the reason why. I'm like, what? That's not me, but this is not the case. I'm just saying, right? So we see here, right? But then I read the scripture, right? Because I was worried for Jonah. I was like, what if that wasn't you, right? Like, what if you weren't the cause of the storm and it just lands on you? And then they're like, oh, let's kill him. But anyways, we see in the Bible, right? That, of course, you see, we talked about the lot, you know, being cast to make a decision, but the Bible says in Proverbs 16:33 that the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord, or the decision is of the Lord. And so people back then, they cast the lot, you know, knowing that there's going to be a divine intervention to give them or to help them to make the right decision. And in Jonah's case, it was the right decision. Because I was like wondering, like, wait. So before I read the scripture about Proverbs 16, I was like, wait, how did this happen? Like, did God do this as well?
Right.
Like, God is just like making things happen. Like, he wants Jonah to know 100% this is you, my guy. You are the reason why all of this is happening.
He was pursuing Jonah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's like, you can't flee me. And you know that.
You are the reason. Yeah, you are the reason. Do
so
better.
What do they do with Jonah, friend?
Friend, they threw that man off the. Listen, they said, listen.
Would you have thrown him?
Honestly, friend, I wouldn't want to, but boy, we can't die. All of us can't die. And what if that's what the Lord wants me to do? I gotta do it. I gotta listen to the Lord. I don't know if I had the heart, because I don't think the men wanted to throw him either, but he,
no.
Like, he pleaded with them. He was like, yeah, you have to do this. So I'm happy that Jonah was like...
There was something design at play there. They knew,
yeah,
you know, they something was going on. They recognized that Jonah was a different person. Yeah. They knew the God he served, and they knew of the God he served, and then they got to see the workings of the God he served.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about the storm, right, friend? And I see the fish, because, you know, that's the big thing with Jonah's story. I see the fish in the same way as God is orchestrating a rescue, because the storm had to stop him, and the fish had to bring him back to do what he was supposed to do. Right,
he brought him like all the way back to like, ooh, look at that. He didn't have to pay for a round trip, right? God is like, I'm gonna stop you right here. You know when somebody offends somebody and then they're like, you know what? I'm gonna stop you right here.
Right.
I'm gonna stop you right here.
That's what God did. He's like, I'm gonna stop you right here. I don't want you to get too far in your mess.
I don't know where you're headed. And I don't know where you're headed, but I'm gonna just save you from yourself. I'm gonna stop you right here.
I'm gonna stop you before you get in your own way. Okay,
right.
Get back here. But friend, the belly of the fish, right? What do you think that was like? It was a dark place.
Slimy.
Ugh.
Oh, uncomfortable. Smelly. Like, imagine me in a place like that. I would be like, you. Like, I would be grossed.
You'd be oh my god! And you would also be beating yourself up. You'd be like, man, why not just listen? Look at the stuff I get myself into.
And just imagine this, right? Like, imagine this creature having to survive in the ocean, and he survives off of like eating whatever it is in the ocean, and whatever is digested in his stomach, like it's there. And you had to just be in this dark place. Remember, you ain't got no flashlights. You ain't got nothing. Like, I doubt they have light in that stomach. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you are there. Like, you're there. You know what I mean?
He probably thought, this is the end. This is my punishment.
Yeah, he probably think he was going to die. That's why that man was in there praying. That's like he scary. Never prayed before.
Right.
You heard him. That man was
actually praying. Preposterous. Like, this is one of the stories that people will say, you know, the Bible isn't real. It's crazy.
No, but see, it's crazy because they can't say that no more. Because did you watch this video with this guy who was swallowed by the whale? He was on a canoe. Did you see that?
No.
What? Fram. So, I can't believe you didn't see this. Okay, I gotta look for that video. But first, he was on this canoe and this big old fish whale. Everybody has been debating, but it's a whale. Ain't no other fish can do that. So he said that thing. So that thing came up, swallowed him. It got dark. It got slimy, and then he spat him out, like in real life. Yes, it happened on a video too. Like there was a video too, friend. I gotta find that video for you. Yes, video? Yes. God be revealing himself. There's nothing new under the sun. Yes. There's a video about it.
Well, friend, that's one place I don't want to be, is in the
belly
of a fish. But
it symbolizes something. Yeah.
But metaphor. So sometimes we find ourselves in a dark place. Metaphor. Mm-hmm. And we find ourselves in suffocating places. We might be depressed. We might feel like a failure. We might have shame. And it can feel just like Jonah was going through that belly of the fish experience.
Yeah.
But in those places, especially if it's due to the storm that we created, we have a choice. Continue resisting or cry out as Jonah did and surrender and let God redirect us. Sometimes in life we go through these seasons where we feel swallowed or isolated or stuck or overwhelmed. Yeah. But God can use that to bring us closer to him, closer in prayer, closer to clarity. And so once again, I see the storm as something that was redirecting Jonah, and I see the fish as something protecting him as well.
Taking him,
it might not be pleasant, right?
Yeah,
it's not a pleasant consequence, but he didn't drown because he was in the fish. It's a consequence. And when we go off on our own and the storm happens, and then the fish can happen, you know, all of that, Jonah is not an innocent victim here, of the storm or of the fish. And we too have to realize that sometimes we are not innocent victims either. And we have to admit when we're in Jonah's position and confess. It can be painful and humbling, but we have to remember that it places us in a position where we can turn to God, and we need to make that choice.
And then also too, you see the protection of the Lord over Jonah's life, and you see where God shows us that in situations that we likely, like in a regular situation, we wouldn't have survived it, right? We see these so many times, like in situations where without God, we wouldn't have survived. We see this with the Hebrew boys, like ain't no way. We see this with the Daniel in the lions then, ain't no way. You are swallowed by a fish, you should be dead.
Right.
If anything, that thing should have chewed you up and you were breakfast, lunch, or dinner, right? And you see him show up in these situations where you should have been dead, right? But the hedge of protection that the Lord puts around you, it makes you realize that, oh my gosh, I need this man.
Yep.
I cannot live without this person. Oh, I'm like, my life is fully dependent
on
him. It shows you the level of reliance that you have on God. Like, listen, God, if I did anything before and I thought I didn't need you, I apologize. Because I realize,
especially that if we're going to go around making messes and being disobedient,
making these messes and creating these situations for ourselves, and then being in situations that should kill us, right? And then God says, like, I am going to protect you. Like, okay, even though you were disobedient, even though you wanted to do your own thing, even though you wanted to please your flesh, even though you felt like this was hard and you tried to run from it, even though you felt like you needed to be somewhere else because this is of the most importance to you right now, like you felt like you needed to handle this before you handled the assignment that I gave to you, you felt like what you had was more important than the assignment that I gave?
Wow.
You thought that I cared about that? That you had to do? No, baby. You got this twisted. Like, I need you to do this today.
Right.
To this day. You know what I'm saying? But he shows you that even though you put yourself in these situations, that he remains God. He remains powerful. He remains in control of everything, including your weasel behind that keeps on putting yourself in situations that you ain't got no business.
Not a weasel. Friend, I just see love. I just see love and God pursuing us, because it's just like a child, you know? You tell them, no, don't go over there. Don't go over there. And you have to keep bringing them back to safety. Because they just refuse to listen to you.
Because they're so fascinated with what they have going on in front of them. They're like, ooh, what's the place?
Like, come back over here. And that's what I see God doing. He's just pursuing. He trusted Jonah with an assignment. He pursued Jonah while Jonah ran in the opposite direction. He kept Jonah safe through the storm and the fish. He worked with Jonah, as we're going to come to the next part in the story. Like, the entire time. Like, is this about the salvation of Jonah or Nineveh? I'm not sure anymore. It might be about Jonah, right? Like, listen. God pursued him throughout all of that, and we are Jonah. Like, we are Jonah. We go our own way. We insist on doing things our own way. We create issues. We run away from what we know is right. We delay listening to God, or we don't do what he says. But God is like that with us, too. He pursues, he persists, and I just see love there.
But let's go back to the story, friend. Okay. What did Jonah do when he was in the belly of the whale?
He cried out.
Yeah.
He prayed.
He really did. He really and truly poured his heart out. And he was honest about like what he was dealing with. He said,
yes,
in my distress, I call him that. Like, he said, like, listen, I was going through it. I was in distress. That means what?
He's in the midst of going through it.
Yes. He said, I called to the Lord and he answered me. Right. Mm-hmm. And then he says, salvation comes from the Lord. Right. But he had to acknowledge that, yo, God, I'm sorry. I was tripping. I was really and truly tripping. And I thought that I was in control of my own life. But you showed me I am not. And I've acknowledged that. And I'm stressed out by the fact that I thought that I was.
Right.
Because I put myself in this situation.
In this situation. And you are merciful and gracious.
Yes. And salvation comes from you. So please, help me. And the Lord, after spending 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, Jonah was spat out, right? Yes. And spat him right back in alignment with the will of the Lord. The whale was
that
like,
is so
walk with
comical
the Lord.
To me.
He was like, oh.
Friend, it is so funny. Like, Jonah literally was like, no, I'm going over there in the opposite direction. And God was like, like, God just reached out his hand and was like,
go over there.
Please, please proceed to the route. You know when you make your GPS upset? Yeah, it's like, rerouting. Please make the nearest U-turn. Rerouting.
God is like, I'm sorry, but this is not negotiable. I'm sorry.
Rerouting you. Go over here.
Go over there. Stop fooling around.
That is so crazy. But what you said, friend, is significant because what we know about, so you talked about Nahum predicting Nineveh, right? Prophesying about Nineveh. But also in Matthew and in Luke, we have Jonah's 3 days being mentioned as a foreshadow for Jesus's 3 days in the grave, right? But that moment, friend, wait. That moment couldn't happen if Jonah didn't disobey.
It really couldn't. You see what I'm saying? You see what God be doing, though?
Exactly.
I be saying this, friend.
Was the disobedience, like, was it necessary? Absolutely not.
No,
but it is
that.
Referenced. God uses it in reference to foreshadow Jesus's 3 days.
God is just a testament
that he uses it. That's all we're saying.
I'm just saying God does some crazy stuff and we're like,
right,
what?
Because of all the people to use,
this Jonah? Is the sort, this is exactly
like, of the all the people to reference, like, Jonah basically was like, hey, deuces, I'm out, I'm not doing what you said, goodbye, y'all. I don't want to do this.
Like, pick somebody else. Like, this is
not
what I want to do. Find somebody else to do this, because you telling me to go do this and I'm not about that life. Jonah seemed like one of those people who was like one of those people who, like, they weren't afraid to, like, stand on business. They're like, if I see you, I'm a square up, and that's what I mean.
He was like, I don't know.
Put your hands up.
He was
put
not a person who was going to, like, fake it.
Yeah, like, if he's not messing with you, he's not messing with you. Like, he's not going to be like, you know those fake smiles that people give to each other when they see each other? But they're not messing with you. He's like, nah, I'm not laughing. Like, we beefing. No.
No.
He didn't even pretend like he was going to do it. Like, he's just like, God, no. I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm not even trying to pretend, like.
We can tell that's how Jonah is, because when we fast forward through what he is preaching to Nineveh, did you hear his sermon? He said, oh, this is one sentence sermon. Like,
yeah, he was like,
let's get straight to the point.
What did he say, friend?
40 more days, Nineveh will be overthrown. Yeah. And he just went proclaiming that all throughout.
Yeah.
Just proclaiming that in the city. He was that type of person. He really was. Yeah. Because he was like, what's the point?
I'm not doing
no 40-minute sermon. I'm just telling you what it is.
Exactly. He was like, listen, I'm letting you know right now, you have 40 days. If y'all don't turn your life around, God is going to burn y'all. So, like, if you want to listen to this message, you listen to it. If not, that's your problem. All I'm saying is that y'all going to get it. Y'all have 40 days to change your ways. And they did.
Right.
They listened to him. I guess his delivery, right? His delivery really helped.
Was effective.
Yeah.
It was effective.
Listen, and I guarantee you, like, his sermon was not like one of those feel-good Joel Osteen sermon. You know what I mean? He was like, listen.
No, it was a call to repent.
And they started to use sackcloth and all that. Those people mm-hmm. were scared. So they started to do what they know to do. The king was like, nobody is eaten. Not even the goats. Not even the cows. Like, ain't nobody eating nothing.
No, he made a whole decree.
Yeah, everybody. He
said, we want God to have compassion and turn away from his anger with us.
Yeah. And I love that. Because sometimes, you know, God gives us warning and we're like, but is it true though? Like, is it? Like, will he do it though? Because he's merciful. Like, it's God.
We'd be playing with our salvation. We'd be
playing.
Playing.
We don't know what we're doing. Lord, we're sorry. But they did. They turned away from their wicked ways. They fasted. They prayed. They used sackcloth. They mourned. They wept with God. And God heard them. And he was merciful unto them. And the Bible said that God changed his mind. He showed them compassion, right? Mm-hmm. He showed them compassion. He decided that, you know what? I see you guys, you know, doing what you need to do. And the Bible said that the Lord saw their works and that they had turned from their evil ways. And so God relented from the disaster that he had planned for them.
But friend, what happened?
God's pursuit of Jonah is still not over. Do you see how I think this is not really about Nineveh?
Right. It just seems like God is really doing more of the refining with Jonah than he did with Nineveh. No. But to be honest, though, they fasted and God was like, you know what? I see them doing what they needed to do. But Jonah is on a different level. Like, sir, how many times that this man gonna teach you a lesson? Like, okay, sorry, friend. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, Jonah was not pleased with the Lord's compassion.
That's so crazy.
After everything he had just been through.
Yeah.
He was not pleased.
Hold on, friend. Jonah said, you see why I didn't want to waste my time to come down here? Because he was gonna still save them. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. No, friend, go ahead. Go read verse 2, friend.
Don't read verse 2. Because Jonah was wilding, okay?
The Bible says, right?
He said, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. Not justifying your disobedience. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God.
Mm-hmm.
Slow to anger and abounding in love. A God who relents from sending calamity.
Because he wasn't going to stand on business.
Just go ahead and kill me. Drama king. He said, just go ahead. It would be better for me to die. Is he throwing a tantrum?
What are we doing here?
I don't know.
This man said, you know what? Please take my life. I'll be better off dead. What? Jonah. So dramatic.
And so God just strikes him then, right? And that's it.
No. Because why? God is compassionate. And this is what Jonah hates. Right?
I'm sorry. I'm done with Jonah. I just would have been upset.
You see why we can't be in control?
No, friend, but this is what I'm saying, though. He didn't do what I said. Then he ran to Tarshish. Then I saved him with a storm and a fish. And he over here talking about, I'd rather die.
That's crazy.
I'll be like, that could be arranged.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, you forgot that I just spoke to the sea a while ago? Are you crazy? You forgot that I just set up a fish to like swallow you? Are you okay? That man don't fear God. Like, he's crazy. To talk to God like that? How you gonna talk to God like that?
He's not well. Are you well? Are you well?
He's not well. He doesn't fear God. But God said, is it right for you to be angry?
He's still teaching and pursuing. That's what he's doing.
Lord, I hope you show me the same level of patience that you did with Jonah. It's only right. Honestly, even though God is still in pursuit of Jonah, right? I saw a little bit of pettiness coming through here. Like, God was being a little bit petty, a little bit shady, right? What? So, the Bible tells us that.
What happened?
Jonah went out of the city, right? And he sat on the east side of the city, right? So, he's watching to see what's going to happen. And so,
right.
The Bible tells us that he then goes and he makes a shelter for himself. And he sat in the shade. And just to see what the Lord is going to do with the city, right? So the Lord now prepares a plant, right? That's what the Bible says. The Lord prepares a plant,
right?
And Jonah started to feel a little bit of, like, you know, mushiness, because he's like, oh, God, like, I just threw a tantrum and, like, you're creating a shade for me. Like, he started, right, to feel gracious, right, for God just providing that plant. Mm-hmm. And God, this is where the pettiness comes in, because God knows, right, he was very grateful for the plant that he created.
Right.
God sends a worm. Right, that Jonah was just grateful for, to eat the plant that he was just really and truly, like, he felt in his
to eat it. God to was chew like, it up.
Go eat that plant, right? Then Jonah becomes mad again because God was being petty.
No, God is trying to show him his heart position.
No.
Because this man is upset about a plant, but was not grateful for God's compassion on a city that turned their hearts toward his God. Crazy.
And then after God does that, right?
Girl.
God now sends, he sends a wind, right? And then he sends the sun to beat on Jonah's head. Now, God, come on now. And then Jonah says, it's better for me to be dead again. Jonah, what's going on with you, bro?
I don't know.
Jonah, it's a plant. It's just some wind and a little bit of sun. Like, you've never felt. He said, it's better for me to die than to live.
And then God said once again, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And Jonah said, it is.
He said, absolutely. Because I was just grateful for that plant. And you took it from me.
And I'm so angry. I wish I were dead. There's a lot of suicidal thoughts going on here.
I know, Jonah.
But you see how you see how the book of Jonah just ends with that question that God asks at the end, you know? He says, should I not, you know, you cared about this plant. Should I not have great concern for Nineveh?
Yeah.
There was more than 120,000 people there. Should I not have had concern for them? And then it just ends. But nevertheless, Jonah did get a second chance and he was pursued by God. I don't know. The ending really brings us to this point where, you know, it really is. It's such a good, the Bible is such a good book because it really is like, it ends in this open question, and it's not about Jonah, really, right? It's about us. And that's exactly what books and literature, and, I mean, that's exactly what it's supposed to do. And so that's what the Bible is saying. It's like, I can end here because I'm not really talking about Jonah. I'm talking about you reading this. I'm talking about you right there, you. And so that's the beauty of it. But in the context of our divine detours theme here, I just think it's funny that Jonah was the one doing the detour. Jonah was the one doing the detouring. We chose it because that's just an interesting dynamic. He's doing the detouring and God is using his detours to accomplish his goals.
Several missions.
Right.
He uses it
several missions
to prove himself to others. He uses it in contrast to the death and the resurrection of God. He uses it to save people who didn't believe. He also uses it to be like, yo, let you know that I'm him. He uses it to let you know that you are reliant on him, that he is in control of everything. The winds, the sun, the plants, the worm, Jonah, the whale, like, he's control of everything. The waves, like, you, me, like, he's in control of everything. And so I believe the book of Jonah is letting us know that regardless of what you feel, obedience is not an option. Like, it's not optional, right? It's supposed to be something that once God speaks, we listen and we obey and we start moving in the direction that God is really sending us. And when we take ourselves and we go on our detours, right, just know that there are consequences, and not only are there consequences, but there are people who are affected by the choices that we make, right? And not only that, we end up in situations, right? In death-like situations because we're trying to flee from the presence of God because we want to walk in our own will. And we also know that that don't make no sense.
Because we want to control everything, right? Because God sees the big picture, and us wanting to control everything makes absolutely no sense. Zero sense.
Absolutely none.
Zero sense when God is orchestrating it. And when two things are true, he sees the big picture, so he can see everything I cannot. And number two, he's always operating with one goal, which is to save us. And if you want to be saved, then you should do what God is leading you to do. But easier said than done, right? Because we're all in that position of Jonah. So, friend, I had these questions that I think we should ask. Just rhetorical for all of us to reflect on. But what is your Tarshish? What is the thing that you run to every time instead of heeding God's call or listening or doing what he's saying to do? You know, you have to be honest about what that is. Is it being busy? Is it being comfortable? What is that? And also ask yourself, why is Tarshish easier? Yeah. Why is your Tarshish easier for yourself? Is it because what God is asking is too big or too scary? What are you running to that's more comfortable? If you distract yourself, then you think you don't have to think about what he's asking you to do or surrender what he's asking you to surrender, you know? And then what is it that you're running, resisting, and avoiding? What are the things that you push back, push to the back of your mind when you feel God nudging you? What assignment or relationship do you feel is too big or risky? The things you don't want God to touch, the things you're trying to keep over here because you're like, no, don't bother this. Are those the things that he's calling you to take action on? Because whatever we're fearful of, that's often what God is calling us to be obedient about. Sometimes we do things just like Jonah, and we need this divine detour, or we need God to pursue us from our detours, our non-divine detours, and bring us back. God wants our obedience, right, friend? He wants it the first time. He wants it the first time. But it's so beautiful that he gives a second and third and fourth and fifth chances, and it's so beautiful that he uses our mistakes, that everything works together for the good. It's so beautiful that he'll use our silly detours in a divine way. So I'm glad that he doesn't waste those things and he takes our mistakes and he just folds them into his redemption and salvation. I'm so happy for that.
He's gonna use one stone and kill two birds. That's what he's gonna do, even three if you let him. Oh, he's going to use you, baby. He's going to use you as a vessel, whether you like it or not. So, just listen. Listen. And we always say this. Oh, we're talking to ourselves as well. We're talking to ourselves because we're not always obedient.
Yeah.
We don't always do what is right.
Yeah.
We don't always do what God tells us to do. Mm-hmm. But we are learning, and we know that God still is merciful to us. And we are so grateful that we're in the position to be like, God, we want you to be gracious. We want you to be gracious to our friends, our families, and even the people who don't believe in you. We still want you to show them grace and compassion, because that is the only way they're going to come to you, is to see the nature of who you are and know and proclaim that you are God. Mm-hmm. Friend, this was Divine Detour.
Brought to you by Jonah. Swallowed by grace.
Y'all heard it here first. Swallowed by grace. All right. So, guys, let us pray. You ready, friend? Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are a God who is gracious, a God who is compassionate, a God who shows and shines his loving kindness towards us. Lord, we understand that some people might not like this part of who you are, but I am so grateful that you are a God who is merciful and who is kind and who sees our disobedience and uses it as opportunities to show who you are to us, that you are in control and that you are God and you are God all by yourself, and that we are reliant upon who you are. So Father, we thank you that you use the situations that we put ourselves in to save us and to save others. We pray, Lord God, that you will help us to identify the Ninevehs in our lives and to identify why is it that we feel that Tarshish would be easier. But more so, Lord God, help us, Father God, to remember that our obedience is not an option, that it is something that you require of us. It is something that is going to help us to get to where we need to be. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be in alignment with your will and your way for our lives. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that you will help us to surrender our our thoughts, our minds, and the things that we want to do to you, Lord God, and help us to just walk in newness of life. Help us to follow your commands and help us to know that you are a God who is going to protect us no matter where we go. Lord, we thank you and we praise you because you are indeed compassionate. You are indeed kind and you are indeed God of our lives. So Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, God, you're an OG. You're a real one.
And you're a real one. He is. Can't
thank you enough.
Well, thank you everyone for listening to episode 213. Same time, same place next month. Gracias por escuchar. Te queremos.
Bye, guys. Peace.
Hey, One Love Nation. Thanks for listening to the One Love, One Faith podcast. We love our listeners and we hope you'll join us again next week. Please share the One Love, One Faith podcast and always remember that each day is an opportunity to show His love and grow your faith.